Here's where we stopped last week. It says, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to take for us a subject today: when heaven invades earth. Say it with me: when heaven invades earth. And I pray that you pray with me as we share what God has placed in our heart. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. Thank you for opening doors that no man can close. I thank you, God, for making ways out of no way. Thank you also, God, that we can relate to the song today. You've been so good. You've been so faithful. More than just a song, but God, it's our testimony. So God, we ask that you speak to us today. Someone came needing a word. And Father, I pray a deposit might be made. In that, just like the woman touched the hem of your garment and she received what she needed, I pray, God, that the one that came today, placing a demand on your anointing, that need will be met in Jesus' name. I don't care how far-fetched it seems. Somebody came hungry. And God, I thank you. You said that that for them that hunger and thirst, you will feed them. You will reward them. You satisfy them. You satisfy us with good things. So Father, right now we put our hands together and bless you for your word. And we give you glory in advance. And come on, give him a real good praise. He's God. Thank you, Jesus. I said give him a good praise. He's God. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're reading the scripture in the book of Matthew 6 and 10, and where Jesus was talking, and I love this passage. We've been building on it because it's been something to build on. And not only Matthew 6, but also Luke talks about the very fact of how Jesus was teaching his disciples. We know that Jesus wanted them, he came to be their Savior, but he also came to be their example. And it's very important that we remember that he didn't just come to save us, but he came to be our example. Well, why is there a difference? Saving me, I'm going to be with you forever in heaven. And yeah, God, you saved me from my sins, and I don't have to die and go to hell. That's a good thing. That's probably the most important thing. But then while I'm here, you're showing me how to live a victorious life. So not only Savior, but example. Say it with me. Not only Savior, but example. So he shows you how to deal with everyday situations, because sometimes people just say, well, one of these days in the sweet old by and by, we're going to be with the Lord. Can I let you know there are some heavenly moments on the earth? And that's why Jesus spoke to his disciples, when you pray, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed will be thy name, or sacred would be your name, thy kingdom come, or the king's domain, the way you rule, way you reign, you know, that come to the earth. And he says, your will be done. And see, folks, this is where we all are. We want God's will to be done. I'm tired of my will. Can I get a witness? I'm tired of anyone else. They say, well, this is where I think it should be. No, God, what is your will? So we say, may your will be done. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. How? On the earth. How should it be done on the earth? As it is in heaven. Then we need to know what goes on in heaven. So in order for us to know what God's will is, we need to have a perspective of heaven, and the disciples had an opportunity, and Jesus would many times share, he would say, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of heaven. What is he saying? This is how God does business. And can I let you know that his way of doing business is totally different than the way we do business on many occasions? Can I get a good amen? You know, so therefore, I want to learn how he does things, and I want to embrace that without a doubt. So when I see this passage in the book of Luke in the 10th verse, and I think I'll start off with this, and I've been giving testimonies in the beginning, and I'll give another testimony. Someone came up last Sunday, and they were believing God for healing, and we prayed for them, and healing took place, and they just began. But before it took place, we began to share with them about how God had healed us and how God healed my wife and myself. Sometimes I don't tell it enough, but you know, I was diagnosed with myocarditis, which is a heart situation, and my heart was only pumping about 20% or so, and they thought that, you know, I might have to have defibrillator, and I was saying, nah, I ain't feeling that, and they said, you might have to have what's the other thing they put in you? Pacemaker. And I was thinking like, I don't think so. And then they say, you may have to have a heart transplant. And I say, I know that ain't God. You know, but that was just me. And I didn't say all this to their face. I was like, because, you know, when the doctor, you don't want to make them mad because they're plugging and sticking stuff in you. And you just don't want to, you know, make them mad. So at any rate, I listened and I was praying. Have you ever been in a situation where you were listening, but you were hearing what somebody was saying, but you was listening to God at the same time? And so I began to just trust God and believe God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that you will not die, but you shall live and declare the glory of God. And when I heard that word on the inside of me, something began to happen. I said, okay, I'm good now. Now, understand, I'm not telling any of you all to deny what your physician says, because you need to see your physician. You need to do what they say, especially if you're not operating in the realm of the supernatural. But I knew what God was speaking to me. And here's the thing is that I was able to, after I came out of this and after I left the hospital, man, it just seemed like heaven opened up. It's something about obeying heaven that things just happen when you just say, God, your will be done. I mean, I felt better that day. I wasn't totally, I still had the issue going on and so forth and so on. And I had a chance to witness to somebody this past weekend. I'll finish the story. But I had to let them know that, yeah, God healed me, but your healing may not all happen, you know, that particular, you may not see the results of it that day. Does that make sense? So you have to walk in your healing. So therefore, I had to tell people, even when my wife was getting over Graves' disease, overcoming that, it didn't happen like suddenly. There are suddenlies in life. And then there are some things that take a process. And there is a process you have to go through to walk in your healing. Are you with me today? So I was sharing with her, yeah, we're praying for you. We're believing. And we know that by his stripes are you healed. And she grabbed onto that. And man, she left. I could tell that God had done something in her life. And here's why I put this into place. I'm getting kind of excited. So we put this in a point. Faith testimonies stir our faith. That's why we need to give testimonies, because they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the words of their, well, who him are they talking about? The devil. You overcame the devil. How do you overcome him? You need some testimonies. Are you with me today? It would be amazing for some of you all. Some of you heard Shay's testimony today, and some people will be set free because they said, wow, if God did that for her, God can do that for me. You heard Paul's testimony, and man, what man, that testimony just blessed me, almost had me in tears, because that's what do. I'm just saying, and to see where he is now, and when he testifies, talk about 15, or I don't know how many years now? 19 years ago. Now, you know that's God. Someone's probably online watching saying, if God did that for that man, and he walked away from drugs and never returned again, and he ran to God, I want you to know that he'll do it for me as well. I want you to know, faith testimonies stir our faith. Somebody bless God in the house. Hallelujah. 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 I've got several people that I'm praying for now that are struggling with drugs and some opioids and others, crack cocaine and some other things. And they start off as pain pills and they begin to increase, and now they're on them and can't get off. But I am believing God. That's why I need to hear these testimonies, because if God did it for one person, he's not a respecter of person. He'll do it for someone else as well. Somebody bless him real big in this place. Faith testimonies stir our faith. Hallelujah. Now, on this note, the Bible says in the book of Luke, and it begins at the first verse, and it begins and says that Jesus sent them out. I said it begins at the first verse, but you don't have to go there right now. But he sends them out, and he sends them out like 70 of them, and they're along with the others. And the scripture says that he sends them out two by two. And they go out and they do some amazing things. God uses them. They just operate in simple obedience. What kind of obedience? Simple. You don't have to be fancy. Don't have to do nothing. No, simple obedience. They came out. Simple obedience. Jesus told them, heal the sick. He said, you know, cast out demons. He says, you know, preach the message of salvation and deliverance. Well, they went out and did exactly what he said do, and they came back with some fish stories. And I say fish stories, and you can smile, because some people got saved. And he told us, I will make you, what, fishermen of men. So they preached the gospel and people got saved, and they came back. They came back. They were so jumping, and I mean, they was probably bouncing. Why? Because it's something when you have a good testimony. You know, you get moving like Pastor Mays. Ooh, ooh. You got something to share. The Bible says those 70 came back, and look what they said. You know, they came back, they said, with joy. They wasn't just, they had joy. They were joyful report or joyful testimony to him, to Jesus, saying, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we use your name. They said, Jesus, we went out just like you said. Not only did the demons obey because we saw healings, we saw salvations, we saw God do amazing things, but even, in other words, all this other stuff happened and even the demons obeyed us when we use your name. Did you get that? You talk about a good fish story. We saw God do amazing things. We saw God deliver people. We saw God set people free. We saw people, you know, walk in strength and power that they never had before. And here's the thing that blows me away. Jesus just didn't mean that for the disciples of that day. But that's for the disciples of today. Because he told us, go, preach the gospel. He told us to go, lay hands on the sick. And how many of y'all have ever done anything just out of obedience? He wants you to operate out of obedience. And when he come back to the church and say, yeah, y'all, guess what? Jesus just did an amazing thing. I laid hands on the sister, and all of a sudden something happened, and now I'm giving you glory and praise. Now, Jesus, I can't leave you with that one. I can't let you top me. Jesus goes to the next verse. He says, yeah, fellas, that's cool. Yes, he told them, he said, but I saw Satan fall like from heaven like lightning. Are you with me today? He says, y'all did well. Oh, demons obeyed you. That's good, fellas. But he says, I saw Satan himself fall from heaven like lightning. Now, how many of you know that? That just blows me away. To see or to think that heaven has, that Satan has no place, no power in heaven. None. No wonder Jesus says, when you pray, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Because Satan ain't running nothing in heaven. Because Satan is not running anything in heaven and God wants us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then Satan shouldn't be running anything at our house. Satan shouldn't be running anything on our job. Satan shouldn't be running anything in our churches. Can I get a witness? You know, I don't care what things look like. You know, if Jesus says he saw what heaven looks like, he had a firsthand view because he came from heaven to earth to show us the way, to be our example. Let me show how we do it in heaven. This is how we do it. Satan, you ain't running nothing down here. I pray we take on that same attitude. Satan, you're not running anything in our house, in our marriage. You're not running anything. You're not running anything in our children. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus because he's given us authority. Somebody give him a good praise in this house. That's the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Jesus saw what it looked like in heaven and said, man, that's the way it's supposed to be in our realm of influence. We've got areas of influence. Some of those influences are local. Some of them are in our house. Some women, I want to let you know, you have authority in your house. Everything shouldn't go on in your house. You get, I mean, almost like, devil, you are a liar. And it will not take place in our house. But you have to take that authority. Are you with me today? So let me let you know. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the 19th verse, I got to take you there. He goes on and says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemies, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. I want to throw something out here, a couple things. First of all, you know, church folks got off when I was down in the sticks of, I think it was Virginia, and they were doing some snake stuff. You know, that is not God's will. Whenever I need to figure it out and get clarity on it, I look at what Jesus, our example, did, and then I say, okay, he gives me perspective because he came to be my example to show me the way, right? He's my YouTube university. You know, what does that mean? If you don't know how to do it, go on YouTube and see. Jesus is that one that you can go see what he did. and get it right in your head. You never saw Jesus handle any snakes. Are you with me there? You never saw him tread among any. So he wasn't talking about those kind of snakes and scorpions. He was talking about some snakes and scorpions in the political realm. Some snakes and scorpions, I better move on. That was trying to stop you and bring you down. Some snakes and scorpions, I better move on. And he says, and you shall have the power to crush them. And he says, nothing shall injure you though. Why? Because I've got you covered. I've got you covered. Now let me show you how this looks. He says, I give you authority. Exousia is the word here. I have given, past tense, you authority over all the powers of the enemy. It didn't leave anything out, right? All the powers of the enemy. It's important that we grasp that because, well, this is a big one. No, you've got power over that too. Thank you, Lord. Y'all still with me? Now grasp this. Authority, exousia, is the Greek word, and it talks about authority as in ruling, reigning, and having rule and even the right to operate as a ruler in a particular area. So let me give an example. Jita and I were taking a trip. We were in, we were there. we're on our way to Botswana is where we were. On our way to Botswana. And when we got out, they had, even when we went through the airport, they have something called TSA. TSA stands for, I think, Transportation Security Administration. And what the TSA, their responsibility is to maintain security. So if somebody has drugs, if someone has a bomb, if someone is gonna do something crazy, they'll get them and they'll subdue them. And the truth of the matter is, they say, hey, stop. One time they put the wand on me and thing buzzed. And one of the little ladies said, hey, we need you over here. What if I had said, I ain't going? I would like, well, what if I looked at her and said, you're only this tall. Make me go. She would whistle and say, hey, y'all, come on over here. We got one. Bring your taser, bring your gun, and bring your bat. Before it was over, I would have gone over there. I say that not because, y'all follow me, not because this woman had this kind of power. This is strength as in muscles power. But she had authority, which was delegated power. In other words, we back her. We sent her to do her job. And we're going to back her because if you try to rise up, all she's got to do is call her boys. Can I let you know, folks, God has sent us. We might not have this kind of power, but we've got authority that he sent us, and he's going to back everything he sent us to do. Are you with me today? Somebody give him praise in this house. So he says, look, I have given you authority over all this stuff. This is delegated authority. While I was overseas, we were in, and this particular time we were in, I didn't even get into this. I don't know if I want to. Yeah. Hallelujah. We were in Paris, and so that's France, right? We're speaking over there, and again we talked to some people, and while I'm over there, I feel the urge. I said, man, this is pretty neat. After we get through preaching and so forth and so on. I called the diplomats here in the United States. I called them and I said, hey, man, I'd really like to check out the American embassy. Do you all know that there's an American embassy in many of the countries in the world? So I call my guy and say, hey, can you get me in the embassy? And he says, do you have your ID? And I said, yeah, got your passport. Yeah. Who's going to be? Me and my wife are going to check it out. So we go in there, and it's amazing. You can't get in. It's locked up tight. And I don't care what it looks like on the outside. The embassy is totally different. Why? When you go in there, people are talking your language, the same language that you came from. I don't care what the poverty, what the economy is. Y'all follow me. What the economy is on the outside, they could be poor, broke, whatever. But in the embassy, Everything is, you got all the food you want. There's no economy. There's no problem with the economy. There's no issue with anything that would cause problems. Why? Because their resources of the embassy doesn't come from that country. The resources of that country come from somewhere else. The protection of that country come from somewhere else. The financial resources come from somewhere else. Healthcare come from, you're not even subject to the law if you get inside of the embassy, because they gotta ask the people to let them in, and they gotta ask them to let you out because they don't have authority inside the embassy. I want to bring this home if I can. It's the same way when it comes to the kingdom of God. You know, God says, you are my ambassadors. So therefore, this is not even your home. This is only your temporary place. So therefore, I send you forth, and there's a realm of influence that I am the ambassador and I cover, and this is where you have protection, and nothing can harm you if you operate within these walls. Thank you, God. I feel a shout coming on. Some people don't understand, but the thing is that how come they can't touch you? Because there's an embassy on the earth. Why? That God, and if you will, the country that we're from is heaven. He sent us down, placed us in this place. Thy will be done on earth, the embassy, as it is in heaven. Where our resources come? They come from the one who sent us. Where does our strength come? Comes from the one who sent us. Where does our support come? It comes from the one who sent us. Just like God sent Jesus, he sent us also, and we've got his protection. Somebody give him praise. Woo! I better move on. Hallelujah. Can I share this with you? Faith testimonies stir our faith, but oftentimes there's a but that gets in the way. And the but gets in our head. We say, yeah, we know that God healed you, Jerry Wayne, and we know that God healed Jesus, but you know, you all are special testimonies, and you all are first lady and pastor and all that stuff. But can I let you know that God is no respecter of person? And you got to get the but out of the way? And if you believe that healing is not for you, I put it like this, but when you believe the lie, you empower the liar. Too many people walking around with butts in the way. And some people have big butts. I mean, it's huge. But this is wrong. But they won't listen to me. But I'm black. But I'm white. But I can't go to school. But my mama didn't raise me right. But this happened. And you butt yourself right out of God's blessing. Are y'all with me today? I want you to know that if God be for you, I don't care what your butt is, that butt has to come under subjection to God's plan and purpose for your life. Give him a real good praise. He's God. I've been working with a group of men that said, well, you know, I've got an X on my back. I don't care what your X on your back might be. You know, I can't give a black brother a break. I mean, please come out of that. I don't want to hear that. You know, if God be for you, help me out. Who can be a... Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Well, my mom didn't graduate from school. My dad didn't graduate from college. It don't make any difference. You know, God is on your side. That makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name. I was in a restaurant, and one of the ladies that was serving, she came to us. She says, I recognize you, and I wanted to, you know, want you to pray for me. She says, you know, I know you believe, but I just want you to know before you pray. And why don't you just leave it at you want me to pray for you? She said, but I wanted you to know that I've got cancer. And she said, my mom died with cancer at like 52 years old. And she says, you know, and then don't stop there. My grandmother died around the same age as my mom. And she said, oh, by the way, I'll probably die at 52. I said, stop all that. Stop all that. Because when you get that in your head, when you believe the lie, what do? You empower the liar. So therefore, if the enemy's wishing me a year, you're going to die at 52. You're going to die at 52. Next thing you know, I'm going to die at 52. Next thing you know, you'll be saying, trying to write your will and everything. Don't believe the lie. Witness to your neighbor and say, don't believe the lie. Because what you do is empower the liar. The same way when it comes to people that says, well, I'll never be able to do this. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'll never be able to lose weight. If you say that, guess what? You're not going, you probably gained some pounds. Hallelujah. I can't lose no weight. And then women, all the single ladies, be saying, I just ain't no man. I heard somebody say, why you got messed with the single? I hear y'all. I hear you. Y'all don't need good men. Y'all need good man. Just one. All you need is one, right? But when you believe the lie, you do what? Power the liar. I'll never be able to save money. What did you just do? Empower the liar. Man, oh man. Look what has to take place. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. It says this, for though we live, y'all doing okay? It says, for though we live in the world, in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. Next verse. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, I'm going to go forth and back and forth, of our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish. Where do those strongholds take place? On the inside of us. Where's the battle? On the inside, in our heads. I'm not beautiful. I'm not wanted. This is not going to happen. It's the stronghold takes place there. So we've got to deal with these. This next verse says, we've got to deal with these arguments. These arguments need to be demolished. Can I get a witness? These arguments need to be demolished. When God says something about you, you know, you need to believe what God says as opposed to what the enemy is saying about you. That takes me to my next point. I want you to grasp this. I can't afford to have any thoughts in my head about me that God doesn't have about me. I want you to take that with you. Take that with you. Come on, give God real good praise on that. I can't afford to have any thoughts about me. And I've gone through something. I told you one of my testimonies when I was like 7 or 8 years old. I broke a mirror and an adult came in and said, ooh, you're going to have 7 years of bad luck. 7 years. I don't want to hang around you. And man, I start feeling a certain way. I start looking and wondering. And man, then think when something bad would happen, I said, oh man, that's because I broke that mirror. Then somebody else would happen and say, oh, man, got a D on the test. Man, I shouldn't have broke that mirror. If you believe the lie, you do what? So therefore, that's not in God's head. And I'm so glad when somebody released me of that foolishness. They said, man, that's not true. Who told you that? You know, and I want to tell so many people the lie that the enemy told you is not true. Who told you that? You embrace what God says about you. Here's some of the lies that the enemy will tell you. He will tell you, number one, he says, God is mad at you. How many of you ever heard him say, God is mad at you? You messed up so much, God is mad at you. He'll say, God is disappointed in me. Man, and then you hear this over and over again because you didn't do this right. You didn't add up to someone else's expectations. How many of you know that God has not called you to add up to somebody else's expectations? And someone told me that thing one time. Boy, I wanted to go Kung Fu Kid on him. They said, I'm just disappointed in you. I'm thinking like, I didn't tell him. I said, ain't you a trip? You know, I'm not trying to please you anyway. You know, I just want to hear him say, well done. Are you with me today? The enemy would tell you that you're a failure. He's like, you know, I'm a failure. Another thing he says that God doesn't love you. And he'll tell you that, but how can that be true when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? And sometimes I'll switch it up, but God so loved me, because I was one of those ones in the world that whosoever believed on him would not perish but have eternal life. And that God did not send Jesus to the world to condemn me, but he sent Jesus into the world that I might be free and that I might have everlasting life. That shows the love that he has for me. While I was still a sinner, God loved me so much that he extended his love for me. While I was a sinner. So the devil must be lying, but don't believe the lie. Are you with me today? Somebody give him one good praise. Hallelujah. I want to say it, I want you to say it with me one more time. I can't afford to have anything, any thoughts in my head about me that God doesn't have about me. You know what God said? He says you're the apple of his eye. He says you're created in his image. Hallelujah. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says great are his thoughts toward you. His thoughts toward you are as many as the grains of sand that are on the very seashore. He says that you are his the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says that when he sees you, he doesn't see all the imperfections. He doesn't look at, he says, know no man after the flesh, but know him after the spirit. And I'm just telling you what he says. He says, you are his masterpiece. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody give God praise, because that's his thoughts toward you. And that's what needs to be in your head. Let's bless him real big in this place. Hallelujah. Can I share with you too that every act of obedience to God releases the atmosphere of heaven? I'm learning how to obey God. What does that look like? This past several weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we've been having some amazing times on Wednesday, you know, and on, not only on Wednesday, but Fridays as well. The overcomers, I've been hearing these amazing testimonies of what God is doing. But every act of obedience, and some of y'all, God was speaking to you today, you know, and you obeyed God and came. And God was, you know, the enemy was saying, you need to stay at home. You can just watch it on TV. You don't need to come. You really, you came last month. But every act of obedience to God releases the atmosphere of heaven. Can I break it down just a little bit? So what it looks like, you know, God spoke to me on that Wednesday night and said, I just want you to pray for people. I want you to pray for people to be healed. And I just said, hey, you all, I believe I heard from God. I believe this was him, so come on up. I just want to pray for you. Man, that night, backs were healed, spines were straightened, you know, headaches were gone, and all because of simple obedience. When you obey God, something happens in heaven. Heaven backs you. Are you with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This past Wednesday, you know, we were here, and I just said, man, I believe this is you, God. I said, the Holy Spirit just wants us to be joyful in him. And we begin just to dance in the Spirit. And as we dance in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came down upon us and in us and filled us so much. But it's just an act of obedience to God. Releases the atmosphere of heaven. Can I just challenge you this week? When you hear God, don't question it. Just learn how to say, God, if this is you, I want to do it. And just watch heaven just open up. Yeah. Give you another example some of us can use. If you're at home and you're fighting and fussing, and the Holy Spirit says, don't argue. And you say, no, hold on. No, he shouldn't have said that to me. Uh-uh. The Holy Spirit says, did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. Stop, Yasmin. But the thing is, he says, don't do this, and you're going to do it anyway. What do? You empower the enemy. But if you shut your mouth and say, okay, I'm going to chill. Holy Spirit, I'm going to chill. Okay, God. So when you act in obedience to God, it's amazing. Heaven just opens up. You could have been going to bed hungry and actually going to the couch. But now you got dinner made for you just because you didn't open your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. I'm ending, but Naaman was told to dip in the pool, dip in the dirty Jordan, and he didn't want to dip in there. I ain't feeling that. Do you not know who I am? I'm a commander of armies. Lord said, you need to dip. See, plus, you didn't even come out and address me right. Just obey. Some of us have an issue. Well, they disrespected me. Get in there and dip if you want healing. First time goes down, comes up, didn't see anything. That's why I'm telling you, if it don't happen the first time, don't stop. Six more times they dip, and they, on the seventh, he came up, though. didn't come up like it went down, though. Skin that was all sores and messed up dropped off of him, and he came back up healed. Why? Because he obeyed God, and heaven opened up, heaven released. I believe God wants to do an amazing work in your life. Somebody give him a praise as you stand on your feet.